Turning your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. We want to read beginning at verse 35. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge?" The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out. After that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear." This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you this morning, especially at this time of Thanksgiving, for the old story of Jesus and his love. The story of how the God of heaven stepped out of eternity into time to redeem us unto himself by the shedding of his blood upon the cross of Calvary. We pray that you would help us to see that message this morning. And if there are any here who have not believed it, we pray that this would be the day when they surrender their hearts to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're continuing with our studies of one of the most important sermons, I believe, in all the Word of God. The sermon that Stephen preached before the council of the leaders of the nation of Israel. And as we study this sermon, what we have been trying to pay particular attention to is the additional historic information and the additional spiritual insights that the Spirit of God gives us here through Stephen. And we've read one of those spiritual insights here in verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Notice Stephen's words here concerning Moses. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. The word church is not found in the Old Testament. And yet Stephen uses this New Testament word to describe the children of Israel in the Old Testament. That's important because it allows us to look back into the Old Testament and look at the people of God there and see a picture of the church in the New Testament today. The word church here in Acts chapter 7 and verse 38 is not a different word than all the other times that we find it in the New Testament. It's the same word that we find all through the New Testament. It's word number 1577 in the Greek dictionary of your Strong's Concordance. And that's the only word that is translated church or churches in the New Testament. And when you look up that word, you'll find something. You'll find that the word church is a compound word. It's a compound of a word number 1537 and a derivative of word 2564. I don't try to say the words because it's all Greek to me, as they say. But I can give you the Strong's numbers and you can look it up yourself. The word church is made up of two words. If you look up the word 1537, you'll find it means out of. And if you look up the word 2564, you'll find that it means call. So when you put these two words together, you get the meaning of the word church. This word that we find in the New Testament, this word that Stephen is using for the people of God, Israel, in the Old Testament. It means call out of. Call out of. Now we've gone into this detail because we want to understand how you get into the church. It's really the most important thing that we'll talk about this morning. I'd like for you to turn over to the book of 1 Peter for just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we want to read verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you. That word called is word 2564. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness. Those two words, out of, are one word. It's word 1537. So here in this verse, we have the two Greek words that make up the one Greek word church. Called out of. Called out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's the true definition of the church of Jesus Christ. It's the definition of those who are members of the church of Jesus Christ. That church is made up of those who are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And who is that? It's every person. The Lord Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When we read about those who are called out of darkness, we're not reading about some exclusive group of people. Every person who has ever lived has been called out of darkness. That is an invitation from God Himself to bring us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are the problem. We're the problem. Whether or not we will give up ourselves, whether or not we will give up our way and our will and our ideas about salvation and allow Him to transform us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So think about that. The church is not a place. The church is not a building. The church is a people. That's what Peter is telling us. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that's the word that the Spirit of God inspires Stephen to use in this sermon. And it's the word that he has preserved in Acts chapter 7 and verse 38 to describe the children of Israel. Now, how did the children of Israel get called out? How do men and women and young people get called out today? How did they and how do we get called out of darkness into His marvelous light? How is that possible? Well, I'd like for you to turn back to Exodus chapter 12, if you will. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. Let's think about that for just a minute. If Israel was called out of darkness into His marvelous light, and they were, because that's the definition of the church, and Israel is called a church by Stephen, then where were they in darkness? Well, they were in darkness in the land of Egypt. Egypt is a place of darkness. It's where these people were born. It's where you and I are born. We're born in darkness. And we live in darkness, in Egypt. We live in the darkness of this world. This world that is covered and consumed by the darkness of sin. And we love it. We love it. We love darkness. That's what God says in John chapter 6 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. That light was the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. That's you and me by nature. We do evil. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, says, there is none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then we read in Mark chapter 7, what's in our hearts? We read about the blackness and the darkness of our heart. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. That is the condemnation. And in contrast to that, light is come into the world. And yet men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. That's the children of Israel. That's you and me, born in darkness in Egypt, living in darkness in Egypt, loving the darkness and hating the light in Egypt because their deeds and because our deeds are evil. Here in these verses, we're reading about the hymn of 1 Peter 2:9, that ye should show forth the praises of Him, who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's who we're reading about, Him. The Him that's called us out of Egypt. He's the Lamb. Notice the wording in verse 3. In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Notice those words, every man a lamb. That's personal. So we're reading here in Exodus chapter 3 about the personal lamb. The personal lamb. The Lord Jesus, John saw Him coming in John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. When Abraham and Isaac were going up Mount Moriah, you remember Isaac's question to his father, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide Himself a lamb. And here's John seeing that Lamb, the Lord Jesus. John identifies Him as the Lamb of God. And what we see here is that the Lord Jesus is the personal Lamb. He's the one that's pictured here. The personal Lamb. He died for me. He died for you. Personally and individually. We see that again in verse 5. We see Him as the personal Lamb in those words, your Lamb. Your Lamb. But not only is the Lord Jesus the personal Lamb, He's the perfect Lamb. Verse 5 says, your Lamb shall be without blemish. All through the Old Testament, as you read about the sin offerings and the peace offerings and the burnt offerings, over and over again we find these words, without blemish, without spot, as a description, as a requirement for those sin offerings. And then we come to the New Testament. And we read in 1 Peter chapter 1. Just if you don't mind turning over there to 1 Peter chapter 1. I should have told you to keep your finger in that general area. But look over at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. And we'll be going back, Lord willing, to Exodus chapter 3. But notice what we read there. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect Lamb. He's the promised Lamb. He's the perfect Lamb. But not only is He those things, He's the promised Lamb. He's the promised Lamb. And that's presented in a very interesting way in Exodus chapter 3. This time I'd like for you to keep your finger in 1 Peter. But if you will, go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, or if you just want to wait for us, we'll be back over there in just a minute. In Exodus chapter 12, in verse 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Now look at verse 6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. This personal lamb, this perfect lamb, was to be kept up for 4 days. Why 4 days? Why not 7? Or 2 or 8 or 10? Why 4? Well, look back over at 1 Peter chapter 1 again. And these two verses, verse 18 and 19. We just read those. Where we're talking about the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, without blemish and without spot. And notice what we read in verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now, if you'd like, look over at Revelation chapter 13 for just a minute. Revelation chapter 13. Your fingers are getting their exercise for today. Look at Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Time is such an amazing subject in the Bible. It's an important subject in the Bible. the way that time perfectly fits together in this book. And we see through a glass darkly right now. But there's going to come a day when we're with the Lord. And I believe one of the things that He's going to show us, even though we couldn't quite see it here completely or perfectly, we knew it, but He's going to show us exactly how the days and the years and the months and the weeks of this book line up perfectly. But it's an amazing subject in the Bible. And this is just one example of it. 1 Peter 1:20, we have the words before the foundation of the world, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And then here we have the words from the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Well, is it before or is it from? Well, that's a good question. There's two other words that help us in answering that question. In 1 Peter 1:20, the Lamb is foreordained. In Revelation 13:8, the Lamb is slain. And these two verses fit perfectly together. In 1 Peter 1:20, we're looking at eternity before the foundation of the world. That puts us back in eternity past. And the fact that the Lamb was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that tells us that in eternity past, God devised the plan of salvation. In eternity past, in the mind of God, He had already laid on the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. In eternity past, in His mind, He had already made the Lamb His own dear Son, His only begotten Son, sin for us. He was going to do that, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And it's that way because redemption, the plan of salvation, the cross of Calvary, was not a reaction by God after the fact in response to circumstances that took Him by surprise. No, redemption, the plan of salvation, the cross of Calvary, was an action of God before the fact of man's sin and fall. And so in the mind and plan of God, the sacrifice of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, was already an accomplished fact in eternity past. In eternity past, the Lamb was promised. 1 Peter is the view of the Lamb of God in eternity. Revelation 13:8, the verse that we're looking at here, is the view of the Lamb in time. In time. Before the foundation of the world, that's eternity. From the foundation of the world, that's time. The plan of God in eternity became the action of God in time. The Lamb who was foreordained in eternity was the Lamb slain in time. And in time, He was kept up for 4 days. He was kept up for 4 days. If you still have your finger in 1 Peter, let's go back in that direction. But let's stop at 2 Peter on our way there. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And so 4 days with the Lord would be as 4,000 years. Now here's what's amazing. 4,000 years is the time from the foundation of the world until the Lamb of God was slain. just as this lamb in Exodus chapter 12 was kept up for 4 days, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was kept up for 4 days. He was kept up for 4,000 years. And when you think about that, what comes to mind is Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. That is the fullness of the time that Paul talks about there. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. This is the season we're in now, isn't it? The time when we remember when God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, virgin born, not made of a man, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. And so we have these words, foreordained, slain, eternity, time. We see that, 1 Peter 1:20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That's eternity. But was manifest in these last times for you. That's time. That's time. In Acts 2:23, Peter was preaching a sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he said, Him, the Lord Jesus he's referring to, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's eternity past. That's eternity past. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Peter said it was the determinate counsel. That was not going to be stopped, folks. The devil did everything he could to stop the Lord Jesus Christ from going to the cross of Calvary. He could not do it. Because the determinate counsel of God was going to come to pass. That's eternity. And then Peter said, Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. That's time. That's time. And so, we have the promised lamb. The promised lamb. Promised from eternity past. Stepping out of eternity into time. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12, if you will. And look at verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your account, make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. This personal lamb, this promised lamb, taken on the 10th day and kept up until the 14th day. Pictures to us the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, this perfect Lamb, foreordained of God from eternity past, but slain for us in time. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, this one who stepped out of eternity into time to bear our sin in His own body on the tree. But there's something else that we need to see here. Look again at verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Now notice the word house in that verse. A lamb for an house. Now look at verse 6. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Notice the words in verse 6, the whole assembly. The whole assembly. Now, I want us to think about something. Here on this night in Egypt, there are many, many houses. But each of those houses has one critical thing in common. Each house is gathered around the Lamb. But while there are many houses gathered around the Lamb in verse 3, verse 6 talks about the whole assembly of the congregation. Verse 6 talks about one assembly gathered around one Lamb. In other words, what we have pictured here, if you will, is one body with many members. One body, one assembly with many houses gathered around one thing and one thing alone, one Lamb. Folks, that is a picture of the church of God in the night of the land of Egypt today. When we see ourselves as God sees us, when we see ourselves as sinners, lost and hopeless and deserving of nothing but the wrath and the judgment of God, when we see ourselves as God sees us and we repent of our sin, we turn to Him from our sin and we trust Him as our Savior, God washes us from our sin in the blood of the Lamb, and we become a member of His body, the church, made up of all those all over the world who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, who have listened to the call as He's called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. We become a member of the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. We become a member of the whole assembly of the congregation gathered around the Lamb. That's the picture in verse 6. But the local expression of the whole assembly of the congregation gathered around the Lamb is the house, the individual house in verse 3. Pastor Kelly, in his book on Bible symbols, says that a house in the Bible is a picture of the local church. Here in the night of Egypt today, the local church, wherever it's located in the world, in many places in the world, those local churches are under great persecution. Not like we are here, where we have no persecution. We don't have to worry about being attacked as some of the churches do, particularly in Africa. But here in the night of the of Egypt today, the local church, wherever it is, gathered as it should be around the Lamb of God, gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, not in some man's name, not in some denominational name, but gathered around Him. That is the local expression of the whole assembly of the congregation. We see it right here. Stephen refers to Israel as a church. And what is it that made Israel a church? How is it that the Spirit of God can apply that word to Israel? Well, look at verse 6. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now look at verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Remember our definition of the word church from 1 Peter 2:9. The church is made up of those who are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. How did Israel come out of the darkness of Egypt and into the marvelous light of God? I'll tell you how they did it. The precious blood of the Lamb. How are men and women and young people in this hour called out of darkness, out of the darkness of the Egypt of this world, into the marvelous light of God? How? The precious blood of the Lamb of God. Foreordained before the foundation of the world. Slain from the foundation of the world. Foreordained for us in eternity past. Slain for us in time. All of these connections are why Stephen refers to Israel as a church. And the question this morning is this: are you a member? Are you a member? Not talking about being a member of any earthly church. Being a member of some earthly church will not save you. The question is, are you a member of the church of Jesus Christ? He's called you out of darkness. He's reproving the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He's calling you out of darkness. The question is, have you humbled your heart and come out of darkness into His marvelous light? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God? This morning you can be right where you are. You can humble your heart. You can repent of your sin. You can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll save you. And you'll pass from death unto life. You'll pass out of the darkness of your sin into the marvelous light of His grace. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You this morning for the message of the gospel. We thank You how we see it on every page of this book. We thank You how You present it in so many ways, from Genesis to Revelation, and yet the message is the same. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And yet when we heed the call, as You call us out of darkness into Your marvelous light, You save to the uttermost all that come to God by You. We pray that You would speak to the hearts of any here today who are lost. We pray that right now they would surrender their hearts to You. And Father, we pray that those who know You, that we would be thankful today, that we would come before Your presence with thanksgiving and praise for saving our wretched souls, for bringing us up out of an horrible pit and setting our feet upon a rock and establishing our going. What a blessing. A blessing that we'll know and enjoy throughout the ages of eternity. It's all because of the grace and mercy of God. And we thank You for these things today. In Jesus' name, amen.